John chapter 14, and if you'll turn there, and with God's help, we'll get into the Word here. And I've already mentioned it a few times today. I've had a heavy heart this weekend, just of the tragedy that has recently happened. And I know Sister Rebecca and Brother Brian and all them covets our prayers, but I know at one point they did attend here. And even Brother Brian, if I'm not mistaken, stood behind this same desk that I'm standing behind right now on a Sunday evening and preached. And it just is such a wake-up call when things hit home to you like that. And I guess when there are people you know that happens to, it just rings throughout your spirit and it disturbs you. Amen. And I had a message I felt just throughout the week, been studying some different things, but just this weekend, I was up praying early the other morning when I got the news, and praying not only for the family, but also for all of us, not just in this situation, but I see a lack of peace throughout the world today, a lack of comfort and joy and security in the Lord Jesus Christ. I do. You can look around and just see the everybody just seems to be coming loose about so many different things. There seems to be no real peace. There seems to be very little joy that is unspeakable. But there is joy in serving Jesus. There is joy in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, a peace that passes all understanding. And as we're here today, I want to deal today with the Comforter and what it is. This is not a fancy message. This is not one that, as I often say, that'll look good on the CD. But I would like to deal today in the book of John, chapter 14. And as I was going through and studying this, I've come across the discovery, this is the most preached from verse of Scripture in my ministry. I have taken my text from John chapter 14 more than anywhere else in the Bible. Even as a very, very young minister, I would go to John 14 because I heard other ministers do it. And I begin to read through it, and because it's so rich and it's so beautiful, as a matter of fact, Martin Luther called this chapter, he said it was the best and most comforting sermon that the Lord Jesus Christ ever delivered on earth. And I believe that today, when we go through just a few verses of Scripture, I'm mindful that there's a get-together back there today, but we don't schedule our services around that. I believe today that many may be here looking for a sense of comfort and peace in your heart. And Lord, with the Lord's help today, we're going to touch on this. John chapter 14, and if you're there, say amen. Just that very first part of verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. And then look over with me in verse 16. And I'm just going to read just part of that verse of Scripture because there's so much preaching in here, you've got to narrow it down somewhere. In John 14, 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter." I will pray the Father. I will pray to the Father. I'm going to ask Him. I'm going to make a petition on your behalf that He shall give you another Comforter. And we know insight into this. That Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are Pentecostal and we believe in the Holy Ghost. I hope you know. If you don't know anything about me by now, you should know that. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe in speaking in other tongues. I believe that. You get that blue book that is a part of our church. When I was inquiring about coming here, I'm glad you believe in speaking in tongues. I wouldn't be here. I believe in it. I believe in Pentecost. But I also believe there is a deeper meaning in Pentecost than we often live. There is a deeper significance to the Holy Ghost. I've been in some camp meetings, they believe all the Holy Ghost is a run down. No. I believe in running the aisles, the Holy Ghost is in it, but He's more than that. That Holy Ghost is a testimony of Christ on earth, and He'll make you a testimony too. That's what the Holy Ghost has come for. He has an agenda and an objective. But we're going to deal today with the comforting factor of the Holy Ghost. Just pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You and thank You. And we ask You, Lord, that You would move in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know there's been a tragedy, God, that's hit home for all of us. God, we know there's many, many people, Lord, that need comfort in their lives. People that we know of, Holy Ghost. And God, we are the body of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are the ones that believe, God. We are the ones that believe that we can intercede for for one another. We can intercede for this world. We can intercede for friends and family. And God, I believe there are those today, even in this building, that need the comforting touch of the Holy Ghost. I believe, I know there's tragedies and different things, sicknesses, different things we hear of all the time. When people are looking for peace, they're looking for comfort. And Holy Ghost, I would that You would help us today in the Bible to bring out the comforting work of the Holy Ghost. Touch us and illuminate this to us in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. One of the constant preoccupations of our culture today is a very common question that you'll find. Why do bad things happen to good people? Many of you have asked that question. Many of you at times, even if you were to pick up the newspaper, if you would browse the bookstores, if you were to read through magazines, there is a constant question in this world. Why do bad things happen to good people? And even today, to be honest with you, many that say that they are an atheist or an agnostic, one of the biggest battles that they have is this. They do not understand why God allows bad things to happen in this world. They cannot get their minds around it. They cannot put it together. And I've even heard people say this. Why did God create evil? I will tell you this today. God did not create evil. Amen? You won't find that in the book of Genesis. You won't find it. Matter of fact, the Bible, God didn't create darkness. Darkness is just an absence of light. God did not create the cold. The cold is the absence of heat. You would understand through studying that God really never created evil. And then we would understand that bad things happening to good people is a result of the sinfulness of this world. You can tie it all back to Genesis chapter 3 at the fall of man. You would understand that there is when all of the inception, that is the very origin of evil. And not only do we ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Probably an even more common question, why do bad things happen to God's people? Amen? Why do bad things happen to God's people? Why do they happen? And we cannot wrap our minds around it. We cannot grasp within our spirit. And then we have a million questions. Why? What if this didn't happen? Why did that have to happen? Why does this happen to this person? Why does this happen to that person? And then we are plagued with a multitude of questions and we do not understand why in the world things happen. Hear me today. I want to preach to you today on the comforting work of the Holy Ghost. This is just a very fundamental message, but I believe it is needful today. When we come to John chapter 14, we would understand when we look at this, we would call this the Last Supper. We know that Jesus is sitting down with His disciples. Judas just left the room and now Jesus is opening up Himself to His disciples to be more vulnerable to them. This is an intimate conversation we read here in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. But we know when we come to this is the Last Supper. It is the night before Jesus' death and the disciples are troubled. They are confused about a lot of things. And oftentimes we read John chapter 14 and we do not take time to evaluate all that was going on in the upper room at that time of the Last Supper. It was a very, very, very heavy night in the lives of the disciples. Now we read over this in America and just say, well, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. But you've got to get the full context of what was going on in the upper room. Here we're looking at this. Jesus said to His disciples that His time is short. He reveals to His disciples that He's about to die. And so no doubt the disciples are sitting there with this burden on their mind. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the one that they love so much, just tells them that He's about to die on Calvary and that there was nothing He was going to do to stop it. He was disturbed. He was troubled. And not only that, we know the story. One of the disciples was about to betray Him, which most of the disciples didn't know, but it was Judas. We know the story about John looking at Jesus and says, who is it? Jesus dips a morsel in the salt there, and then He gives it to Judas and reveals who it is. Judas walks out of the room. So here the disciples are. Not only do they have news that Jesus is about to die, but all of a sudden Judas runs out of the room. Jesus said to them, somebody's about to betray me, and all of this is in that upper room. Now, how would you feel today if I looked at you and I don't have the same weight Jesus does when I say this, I'm going to die tomorrow. And one of you in here are a hypocrite and you're going to betray all of us. And told you that as a fact. It would change the atmosphere. It would change the way you think. Not only that, but then Jesus looks at them and looks at Peter and says, Peter, you are going to deny me. I mean, it's getting heavier and heavier, isn't it? He's bringing more and more into the story. And in the midst of the confusion, and most of all in the sorrow, Jesus had told them He's about to leave them, and you can't go with me. I mean, it's heavy. It is burdensome. Here we are in this room, this Last Supper, and we read it in an extremely perplexing time. Everything these apostles knew was about to be forsaken. Everything that they knew about was about to be pulled from underneath their feet. They're about to be left alone. The Son of the Living God was about to leave them. That one that they looked to for 3 years for instruction and guidance and teaching and for provision. They had seen miracles. This is a very, very heavy situation. It's bearing on them. And in that, Jesus says these words, let not your heart be troubled. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Don't let my heart be troubled. You just said you're about to die. You just told me that somebody's going to betray you. You just stared Peter down and said he's going to deny you. You just told us that you're going away and we cannot go with you. And let not our heart be troubled. Now when Jesus said this, it's not in a suggestion box. He's not saying, well, if you feel like it, don't let it be trouble there, Mr. and ma'am and sister and sir, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't feel like being in trouble today, just go home, take your soul off, kick back to you, go to sleep. Everything's going to be just okay. Go find your psychiatrist, lay on the couch. When he shows you that picture of ink, if it looks like a butterfly, you're okay. If it looks like a devil, you need medicine. He said, Brother Derek, are you making light? I'm not making light of it. I'm telling you, don't let your heart be troubled. We don't have to be propped up by everything else in this world. We don't have to be propped up by a doctor's arm all the time. Thank God for it. Thank God for technology. But there ought to be something deep enough in your life that you can reach down in the core of your heart. You can say, God's been good. God's been faithful. And no matter what happens, let the waves come. Let the winds blow. I'm going to serve Christ regardless. Let Him chase me. Let Him mark me. Let Him persecute me. I'm going to serve Christ. I'm not going to let this world get in my heart. It don't take nothing for some of us to get all out of shape. The devil's just beating me up all week. Quit opening the door up. You don't understand, Brother Derek. He said, quit letting it in your heart. The problem that a majority, not only in the world, but even in the church house, the problem that we face, we let too much of the world, we let too much of the world's agenda and opinions and ideas into our heart. And we let it get inside of us, we let it swell up, we let it boil over, and then it affects us. We come to church, we can't worship God, we can't lift our hands, we can't do this, we'll do this and do that, everything else, but we can't worship God because we have something that is inside of our hearts. I'm telling you, quit letting it happen. Quit letting your job in your heart. Kick it off the throne and let Christ sit down for a little bit. Quit letting your neighbor. Oh my. Let somebody. On 32, Highway 32, and if you live here, I'm sorry, but there was a house there on Highway 32. And when you look at the house on the light pole out in the front yard, it had a piece of OSB plywood and on it painted Crooked Neighbor and had an arrow pointing to the neighbor's house. I said, well. But it amazes me how much we let in our hearts. And even today, dealing with tragedy and dealing with going through things, it does not have a place in your heart to the place that it affects your view of Christ, it affects your view of the church, it affects your view of the neighbor that you sit beside. I'm telling you, church, if there's ever a day and a time, we need to learn to be good gatekeepers. We need to learn to be good doorkeepers of our heart. Be careful what you let in your heart, what you let in your mind, what you come to the house of God with, what's coming out of your mouth. What's coming out your mind there? What you've let in is going to come out. It's going to affect the way you worship. It's going to affect the way you serve the Lord. Be careful what you let in your spirit and in your heart. Hear me today. Let not your heart be troubled. You understand the human heart today, as we already dealt with it in teaching on a Wednesday, is a very fragile thing. It takes nothing to throw us off course. And I'm talking to, we're all human here. Get off that white steed and join me. All of you know what I'm talking about. It takes very little to disturb us. And then when something really tragic does happen, as we are facing all together today, hear me, we have to understand still, even in the Last Supper, even though the situation was real, even though the situation was heavy, He said, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is saying here, do not let it in your spirit. No matter how bad it is, you still can be faithful to Christ. I think this is amazing. Because Jesus is the one about to die. And He preoccupies His heart with their heart. Instead of worrying about Him going to Calvary, He's worried about His disciples. He is a perfect picture of somebody who would not let anything get to his heart. He's saying, and when He says these words, He's saying, get control of your heart. Stop letting your troubles come in. Stop letting other things have its way in your mind. Don't let your heart be troubled any longer. Don't let anything control. Hear me today, friend. We must understand. We must be on protection today of our heart and of our spirit. Hear me. Tragedy comes. And it hurts. I promise you, everybody in this room today, if you have it, you're going to face something. You won't always explain it. And you will ask the question, God, why does bad things happen not only to good people, but why does bad things happen to God's people? But can I say today, along with my Savior, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. He goes on to say, you believe in God. Believe in me. Not only does He give us an answer, He gives us His presence. He gives us a place and a person. He says, look, believe in me. I'm telling you today, friend, put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me move along in the message. When we come to verse 16, He said, I will pray that the Father, and He shall send a comforter unto you. This word comforted us. When we look at it in the English, we know what comfort means. But we look at this word in the Greek, and it means a parakletos. It means this today, one who acts as another on behalf, as a helper, a legal advocate, an advisor, and as somebody that is a helper. Jesus is saying, look, I know a lot's going on, disciples. I know we don't understand it all. But when I'm leaving, I'm praying. God's going to send another comforter. He's going to send a helper. He's going to send an advocate. When we look throughout the Bible in the New Testament, this word parakletos here in comfort, it's only mentioned 5 times in the New Testament. John mentions it 4 times in his Gospel, and you'll find it again in 1 John. John is the only one that mentions it. And when he says this, hear me today, friend, because this is important. You'll find in other type Bibles it says advocate, helper, counselor, comforter. But this word today simply means it is a legal representative or a lawyer who would intercede behalf of somebody in court. Hear me today, friend. In these 4 places it is mentioned in the book of John, all of them have their significance in comforting others, in comforting you. In the book of John, the word comforter, parakletos, advocate, helper, counselor, it's mentioned 4 times in the book of John. We'll find it first, as I read to you a minute ago, because all of this has to do, listen, with tragedy and comfort. And this John 14 and 16 says this, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now you have to be honest with me today. When you're going through a trial or a tragedy, the first thing that you feel is that God has forsaken you. Many people go through that. They feel when they face something, they ask the question, God, where were you at? God, where are you at? Why did that happen? Hear me today, friend. Because when you go through something that is tragic, hear me today, you lose all sense of security. At times you lose friends and family and confidence, and people do not know what you're going through. But the Bible says here that the Comforter, He may abide with you how long? Forever. Forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I want you to get that. That's more than just the end of a fairy tale. They were happily, they lived happily ever after. But in Christ, this Comforter abides with you forever. That tells me something. That means He does not forsake you. The enemy may try to convince you that God has left you. The enemy may try to convince you that something, that God's nowhere around, that He's somewhere else. But hear me today, when the Bible says He will abide with you forever, that means He'll be there on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Hear me today, friend. He'll be there forever. He'll be there tomorrow. He'll be there next month. He'll be there next year. He'll be there in your next trial. He'll be there in your next letdown, your next heartbreak, your next death in your family. God will be there. Forever. Why do we feel at times that God just forsakes us? You say, I've never thought I'm a sanctified specimen of a believer. You've asked a question at some point or another. God, I don't understand it. God, why'd you let... Why? You have to understand today, friend, that this is a question that many people ask. And if you're not here, God bless you. But hear me today, friend. He will be with you even in the worst of tragedy. And when many people at times wonder, when they're going through something so tragic and so heart-wrecking, they wonder, why did God leave us? It's completely opposite. He never left. He got closer. I have come to experience in my life, when I face something I don't understand, I feel closer to God then than I ever have. And at times when I'm going through my daily routine, when everything, the sails are up, the sun is shining, and man, the waves are just no waves, I find myself there, I'm praying. But I'm not praying like I could. But I find as soon as I face tragedy in my life, there seems to be an extra oomph in my prayer life. I feel like when I get down, I feel the Savior there. Because there is true fellowship and suffering. Hear me today, friend. He does not forsake us. He draws closer in tragedy. And I want to encourage you today, no matter what you're facing, I know there's tragedy that has struck with people we even know. Let's pray that that Comforter, that they will feel Him closer than ever. Let's pray that they would feel the loving presence of Jesus Christ. Let's pray that that Comforter would make Himself evident to them like never before. The Bible goes on to say this, second time it's mentioned, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Hear me today, friend, because when tragedy strikes, one of the first things that happen to a believer in distress, they forget about the things of God and how good He is. You know, you say amen, you know that's right. Something just smacks you out of nowhere. And you instantly, you don't feel like shouting. You don't feel like running the aisles at that apparent moment. Hear me today, friend. You don't feel that. You're sitting there and you seem to forget. But hear me today, the Bible says that the Comforter, the Father will send Him in my name. He will teach you all things. So the first thing the Holy Ghost will do, that Comforter, in your trial and in your tragedy, He's going to teach you something. When is the last time, just you can answer to yourself, when you were faced with just a trial of your life, you sat down and said, God, teach me something today. What are you trying to teach me? What are the lessons that can be learned? Teach me, Lord. And then the Bible goes on to say, it will bring all things into your remembrance, which I have said unto you. The Comforter, when He comes, He will remind you of the Word and all that God has done for you and others. Well, even though you may be going through a trial, you may not be able to remember the goodness of God, but all of a sudden you're sitting there and the Holy Ghost, that Comforter, will come by and say, I'm still faithful. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, I am your healer. Jesus said, I'll be there through thick and thin. Hear me today, friend. He will bring it to your remembrance. You say, Brother Derek, I don't feel that all the time. Invite the Holy Ghost into your life.
Ask the Comforter to come. He's already came. But yield to Him.
The Bible goes on to say the third place that is mentioned is this. He says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me." Hear me today, friend, because this is important. In trials, it's, the Bible says here that the Comforter is the Spirit of truth, and you would have to admit to me, in trial and in sudden tragedy, that's when the devil tries to find a door opportunity to speak lies into your life, to discourage you, to try to extract truth from your life, and he tries to put all these different lies, all of these confused thoughts. But when the Comforter comes, it says He is the Spirit of truth. That devil will come to you. God didn't really do that for you. God ain't there. God allowed that to happen. God did this. The devil would do that. He'll whisper lies into your ear. God don't care. If He really loved you, that would not happen. If you were really in the will of God, that would not happen. Not only would the devil say anything, but so will the flesh. We give the flesh a bye a lot of the times and blame the devil. I know some people demonize everything. Flat tire all the way to church. Devil got us today. No, your flesh wouldn't save the money to buy new tires. Yeah. The devil did that. No, he didn't. The devil got my wash machine. No, the 500 loads of laundry did. You have to hear me today. Because we want to demonize everything. Not only would the devil try to tell you lies, but your flesh is a liar. There'd be a lot more healings. We learn to know that the flesh is a liar. God could heal you at this altar today. You could stand on the Word of God. You could say, "I'm putting my faith in that." And as soon as you leave here, a symptom will show up from your flesh. And you'll say, no, I'm not healed. Amen. That's true. There's been men and women over the years, I've experienced it. They had enough confidence. They could be bleeding and they say, "I'm healed." They could have a big open wound in their body and say, "God's going to heal me. An infection will not set in the name of Jesus." You say, "Hear me today. I'm trying to tell you the devil and the flesh is a liar, but the Comforter, hear me today. The Bible says it is from the Father." I love that it's directly from the throne. If the God of the universe sends it straight to us, He understated that He is the Spirit of truth. God cannot lie, so the Comforter cannot lie. God cannot lie. It is impossible. I'm glad He's on my side. He cannot lie. And the Holy Ghost came from Him. That great Comforter came from Him. He cannot lie. And everything the devil's saying to you, everything the devil's trying to lie to you about, every lie that the devil is breathing into your ears, hear me today, friend. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed for that Comforter. He came and He brings the Spirit of truth. That means you're going through something. You're questioning something. You don't understand something. The devil's whispering in your ear. This, and this. The Holy Ghost will come along and say, no, and no. Liar, pants on fire, devil. How do you know the devil's a liar? Because the Holy Ghost will show you. The Bible tells you He's the Father of all lies. But you say, "How can I discern? How can I differentiate? Understand this." You can from the Holy Ghost. You said, "Brother Derek, what about even in worship? How can you tell the difference? You get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll know." You'll know. I'm not always afraid of the flesh as some are. I've been in some churches, you can tell when it's fleshly. But I've been to others, I said, "The Holy Ghost is moving on that individual." I was in Africa, I heard them speaking in tongues and it wasn't Swahili. How'd you know? I felt a river flowing inside of me. I felt the Holy Ghost let me know. I felt the comforting power of the Lord of Jesus Christ. Hear me today. He is the Spirit of truth. Don't try to operate without Him, please. Ask Him to come. Ask Him to fill you. be full of the Holy Ghost, that truth can reign in our lives. Then it says He will testify of me. That means He will testify of Christ. Let me move along. The fourth and last place is mentioned in the book of John. It says, nevertheless, I will tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. It is expedient for me to leave, Jesus said. He's looking at the disciples. He's looking at them, and pretty much what Jesus, the context of this, when you begin to study this, He's looking at the disciples and He's saying, it's to your advantage that I get out of here. Hey, Peter. Hey, John. Thomas. You're not wanting me to leave, but I'm telling you, it's for your own good. I wish some of you believed God. You said, Brother Derek, I don't trust God. It's for your own good. Hear that word expedient means it is your advantage. It is better for you. So when Jesus was saying this, it is expedient for you that I go away. He was saying this, it's for your own good. Because why, Brother Derek? I'll tell you why, because you asked. When He went away, Jesus went back to the throne. After crucified, resurrection, went back to the throne. Acts chapter 3, the Holy Ghost came, the Comforter. When Jesus was on earth, with an earthly body, He could only be in one place at one time. If Jesus was in Judea, if Jesus was over here in Samaria, if Jesus was over here, He could only be there one place at one time. You say, is that the case? That's why He looked. That's why Mary and Martha said, go get Jesus because our brother's dying. He had a human body. He was one place, one time. Hear me today, friend, because this is important. But when the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, come, He can be at all places at all times. They can have church in Africa, Russia, China, North Carolina, Arkansas, Texas, California, Washington State. It can be anywhere, Alaska, but we still can have church here because the Holy Ghost is omnipresent, because it was expedient for Him to go that He could come. Not only that, but Jesus wanted the disciples to understand, right now, everything you have is basically external. But when the Comforter comes, He's going to be in you. Do you not see the blessings of that? He's going to tabernacle you. He's going to be in you. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost. He will be able not only to dwell with you, but in you. Hear me today, friend. When a tragedy strikes, we're not worried about it getting a hold of our salvation because it's in here. We have the Comforter inside of us. When Jesus was on earth, they could arrest Him physically. They could crucify Him physically. You ain't going to crucify nor arrest the Holy Ghost. Try it. And I wouldn't even want to touch him because Ananias and Sapphira lied to him and they died. I ain't going to try to arrest him. Think about this today, friend. It was expedient. For understand, the Comforter was mentioned four different times. And then we come to the book of 1 John where it's mentioned the last time. It says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. The righteous, as my wife comes to the piano. We have an advocate with the Father. Think about it again, friends. Think about it. The disciples are in that Last Supper. I'm about to die. Judas is betraying me. Peter, you're going to deny me. You can't go where I'm going. Let not your heart be troubled. I know what the Holy Ghost has given me for the service this morning. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've been hit, Brother Glenn, I've been heavy-hearted this weekend with the tragedy. And you have too. Many people have. Today my heart goes out to the Jones family. It goes out to Rebecca and those precious children. And the Morris family. Many of you have had more opportunities to be with them than I have. But can I encourage you today? Let not your heart be troubled. Tragedy comes. Life is unfair. Why does bad things happen to good people? Why does bad things happen to God's people? I don't know who the answer is. But I do know this. We have a Comforter. We have a Comforter. And when I look at this today, He's an advocate. As you stand to your feet, Jesus creates this image in our mind of an advocate, of a lawyer standing at the throne of the judge, making petitions for you and I. Can I tell you this today? God will not deny Jesus' request. God will never deny His Son's request. But when we look at the Bible and it says, Jesus says to His disciples, I'm going to pray for another Comforter to visit you. Will it be all right this morning that we pray for the Comforter to visit those that are suffering? Those that are today that knows of the situation. And those of you that are here facing things. I'm not trying to put one thing over the other. I know there's many trials and sickness right here. But hear me today, God's your Comforter. Don't put your trust in the politics of this world. Don't put your trust in a human being. Human beings live, human beings die. But put your trust in an abiding presence that will never leave you nor forsake you. Never.